We'll turn, please, in our Bibles to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. And it is the verses 31 and 32 of the text, or the portion, that I want to focus on today. Before we do so, we'll bow briefly in prayer, ask the Lord's help for his blessing upon us, and then we'll consider these verses in greater detail. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank thee today that we can come to thee in prayer. Thank thee, O God, for the hymns that we have been singing. No more veil, God bids me enter by the new and living way. We thank thee, O God, that, Lord, thy presence is not veiled from us. Lord, we thank you that that veil, it's rent in twain from top to bottom. We thank thee, O God, that now we have unhindered and unfettered access to the very throne of God. And, O God, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt come. Lord, that thou wilt hear and answer prayer. We thank you, O God, that as we pray, Lord, thy word reminds us that there's one who's praying for us. And, O Lord, as we think even of this particular portion, Lord, it encourages us. It encourages us. That, Lord, your word to us is today that I have prayed for thee. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come, thou wilt answer our prayers by praying for us today. Lord, give us help then. And, O God, grant the double portion of thy presence in this house. For we offer prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 22, we read in verses 31. And 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. As you come into this chapter, you are on the dawn of the crucifixion, with the plot beginning to crucify Jesus, now beginning to thicken. Judas, he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, with the dirty deed now being done. Eventually we find all of the disciples met together here in this portion, and they were met together in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. As they were in the upper room that day, the Lord Jesus, he took the emblems of bread and wine, and he told them to eat and drink them in remembrance of him. And with the bread and wine still very much on their lips, verse 22, the Lord Jesus, he then makes a very startling declaration. He states that one of the disciples there on that day would betray him. And after the disciples, they discussed who this was and who would be the worst amongst them. You then find in verse 24, the disciples, they then go on to discuss who was the best among them. Now, as this discussion was happening, who was the best amongst them, who was the worst amongst them, remember who was sitting in amongst them. Judas Iscariot was there. He was present. And interestingly, concerning Judas, we're told at the beginning of this chapter, verse 3, that Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. In other words, whilst he was sitting there in the upper room, gathered together with the disciples, Satan had already entered into the heart of Judas. Now, what does this mean? Did Satan literally, physically come and take control of Judas? No. Well, what it means is that Satan, he took control of his heart. In the parallel account, in John's account, we read John 13, verse 2, that he put into the heart of Judas to betray him. So here's Judas, he's sitting in amongst the 12, they're celebrating the Passover, the Lord's Supper, and Judas Iscariot is present. And as he is present, Satan, he has taken his heart. Now he's beginning to permeate the very atmosphere, the very place where Christ had foretold his death. Satan, he's on the move here. He has had Judas, he has his heart in his hand, and he now wants his next victim. And in seeing the disciples there gathered collectively, as well as very much the leader of the pack, Peter, individually, He wanted to sift them. He wanted to stop them from following Christ. The word Satan here in verse 31, it literally means an adversary. Now, an adversary is someone who stops, who opposes, who hinders someone. And here we find the disciples. It is the night before the Lord Jesus is crucified. They're in the upper room. They're celebrating the Lord's table. But Satan is now present. And he wants to stop them. He wants to oppose them. He wants to hinder them in their walk with Jesus Christ. But you know, if they wanted to sift the disciples collectively, Satan, he also focused in on one individual that day. He focused in on Simon Peter. Simon was very much the leader of the pack. And Satan here in his thinking, he's thinking, if I can get the leader to buy, the rest will follow. And so we read here, Simon, Christ is singling out Simon here, and he's telling him Satan desires to have him. So here's Satan, he wants the disciples, he also wants Simon Peter. And Christ, he tells Simon Peter that Satan, he wants to resist him. But he no sooner told that Satan wanted to resist him than he then turns the equation on its head. And he says, yes, Satan, he desires to have you. But Simon, I have prayed for you. Simon, I have prayed for thee. You see, Christ was praying for Simon Peter as the devil sought to oppose Simon Peter. You see, whilst we have Satan as an oppressor, we also have the Savior as an intercessor. While Satan, he opposes us, Jesus Christ prays for and pleads for us. And child of God this morning, I wonder you in church, and I wonder you feeling the sifting of Satan. I wonder this morning, do you feel like Satan, he's opposing you, he's hindering you, he's attacking you? Well, comfort yourself in this. Comfort yourself that as Satan opposes you, as Satan attacks you, that you have one. You have one in the glory. And he's praying for you. He's praying for you. And he's praying for you that your faith wouldn't fail. Again, you think of John chapter 17 and verse 15. John 17, we have the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And here he's praying for his disciples and his people throughout the world. And what does he tell us that he's praying? Well, John 17, verse 15, we read, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. In the Greek, this is a very interesting verse. The word from here, it literally means out of. Whilst the word there, evil, it literally means evil one. And here's Jesus Christ, and he's telling his disciples that he's praying for them. But what is he praying for them? He's praying for them that they would be kept out of the hands of the evil one. You see, whilst we are sought by Satan, we are sustained by the Savior. And so this morning you might be sought by Satan. Satan, he's attempting to sift you. He's attempting to stop you. But you have one. You have one who tells us he ever lives to make intercession for his people. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. While Satan opposes you, the Lord Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for you. And so I want to consider today Christ praying for Simon Peter. Christ praying for Simon Peter. Notice firstly here with me the plight he experienced. The plight he experienced. You know, as you read through your Bible, Simon, he stands out as a well-heeled saint. The Lord Jesus gives him the name of a rock. He also hands him the keys of the kingdom. But rather than being on the mountaintop, Simon Peter, he's now down in the dumps. He's experiencing a terrible plight in his Christian life. I believe there are two plights here set before us. Notice here, concerning this plight, he was satanically desired. Satanically desired. In verse 31 we read, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The word desire here is a strong word in the original. It means to demand. Here the disciples are in the upper room, And the Lord Jesus, he speaks firstly to the disciples and he says, Satan, he demands you. The word you there in this verse 31, Satan has desired to have you, in the original, it's plural. So here we find the Lord, he's addressing the group of the disciples as a group. It actually shows us the beauty of the Authorized Version, which distinguishes between the you and the thee. The you in the AV is plural, the thee in the original, it is singular. So here's the Lord, he tells the group of disciples that Satan, he wants them as a group, but he also singles out Simon. He says, Simon, Simon. So he's speaking specifically to Simon. Of course, the verse 32 uses the thee. And the Lord here, he's addressing Simon specifically, as well as addressing the group collectively. Now, what does he tell Simon Peter and the group? Well, he tells them that Satan demanded them. He demanded them that he might sift them as wheat. The verb to sift here, it's an agricultural term. It refers to the process of separating the husk from the wheat grain. And what they would have done in Bible times is they would have got a grain, they would have thrown it on the ground, they would have stood on the grain, they then would have got the grain, they would have thrown it in the air, and the husk would have blown away, and that would have left the pure head of wheat. And in sifting the disciples, and especially Peter here, Jesus is telling them that the Satan, he wanted to throw them in the air and he wanted to see them blow away. He wanted to tear Peter. He wanted to sift Peter. He wanted to destroy Peter in his Christian walk. You see, whilst God sifts us to purify us, Satan sifts us to destroy us. Yes, there are times when God, he purifies us. There are times when God, it feels like he throws us in the air. But there's a reason for that. It's so that we'll be pure. It's so that we'll be like a pure head of grain. But you know, there are other times when Satan, he sifts us. And he is tempting us to destroy us. He wants to throw us in the air. He wants to see us blown away. Satan, he wants to destroy your influence, your testimony. He wants to destroy your assurance, your prayer life, your Bible reading. Satan, he wants to discourage, to deter, to disengage you in your walk with Christ. You remember, the same person who was told this about Satan, what did he write in his epistle? Peter? Well, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, we read, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I don't know if you've ever studied a lion or watched a program about a lion. But you know, the lion has many different ways of attacking its prey. Sometimes the lion, it waits and it crouches, it stealthily, it approaches its prey stealthily. And then it just jumps out and takes its prey. But there are other times, and Peter, he's referring to this. There are other times when the lion goes up to its prey and simply roars at its prey and scares its prey to death. And then he has it for dinner. And Satan here, he's depicted as a roaring lion looking to have the Christian as an easy dinner. You see, while Satan is an angel of light, he's also a hungry lion. You know, if you were to ask Satan what his meal plan was, he would say, for breakfast, lunch, dinner and supper, I want to destroy, I want to have the Christian. I want to consume the Christian. Remember that, brethren. Remember that, sisters. Satan, he's out to stop you. Satan, he's out to oppose you in your Christian life. Simon Peter, he wants to sift you. To sift you as wheat. He was satanically desired. Something else here. Notice he was spiritually declining. In verse 33, we read, he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And by spiritually declining, I'm referring to the plight of Simon Peter's declining walk with God. Simon Peter, when he was saved, he started out very well. The Lord gave him a name, Cephas. It means a stone or a rock. But now Simon, he's now anything but a rock in his Christian life. Rather than being on the incline, Simon is on the decline. You find the beginning of this decline in Mark chapter 8, where the Lord Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to the cross. And what does Simon Peter do? He turns around and he actually rebukes Christ for saying such a thing. And now as we come into Luke 22, just a short period of time has elapsed. And what is Peter found doing? He's found boastfully stating that although all the disciples would forsake Jesus, that he would go. He would go to prison. He would even die with Christ. Even though Christ had just told him that Satan wanted to sift him. Simon Peter here, he's full of pride. And then you find him, just a verse or two later, he denied the Lord three times. And they believe that this happened because of a gradual decline in his walk spiritually. And here Satan, he now sees Simon as an easy prey. And with his guard down and his spiritual armor off, Satan, he sees his opportunity to attempt to sift Simon Peter. You see, Satan will oppose you not when you're at your strongest, but when you're at your weakest. Satan will often come to you when you have your guard down, and he will then attempt to sift you. I wonder, is it perhaps that Satan, he's coming and he wants to sift you, stop you, hinder you, and it's because you have the spiritual armor off. It's because you have the guard down. Like Simon Peter, you've been on the gradual decline spiritually. And now Satan, he's seizing his opportunity with you. Sees you at a low ebb, speaking of your walk. Sees you at a low ebb. And he wants to sift you. He wants to sift you. You remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan? When was it that Satan tempted Christ? He didn't tempt Christ when he was in the wilderness just at the beginning. No, Matthew 4 verse 2. We read, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And the tempter came to him. Satan tempted Christ after he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan, he tempted Christ when he was at his weakest physically. You see, the declining Christian is an exposed Christian. And I wonder, like Simon Peter, are you on the decline spiritually? Are you deteriorating spiritually? Because if you are, you're more open to the attack of Satan. You're more open. Oh, make sure you have the armor on every day before you go to work or school or whatever it might be. Make sure you have your armor on. You're entering into a battle. You don't want to go into a battle unprepared. Satan, he wants to sift you. Don't give him easy opportunities. You know, someone has rightly said, collapse in the Christian life is never a blowout. It's usually a slow leak. And you know, you think of your car. Often you get a puncture. And it often doesn't happen just there and then. Often whenever you go to take it to the mechanic and get it fixed, you often find that you've had a slow puncture for quite some time. And then you're halfway up the motorway or you're on an errand and all of a sudden you have a flat tire. It's true. You know what I'm talking about. Well, I just wonder, child of God, have you been on a slow leak? And now is it all beginning to culminate in a burnout or a blowout? That's exactly what happened here with Simon. That's why he denied the Lord. Satan here, he's attempting to sift Simon Peter. The plight he experienced. But notice secondly here, the prayer he received. The prayer he received. Satan, he desired to sift the disciples generally, but he was also honing in on Peter individually. And whilst he knew Peter was at a weak point here, he also knew that Peter was the leader of the pack. Yet while Satan desired to sift him, Christ prayed for Peter. Notice here the substance of this prayer. In verse 32 we read, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You know what a worry this would have been to Simon Peter. He's on the decline spiritually. And the Lord Jesus turns to him whilst they are celebrating the Passover, celebrating the Lord's table. And he says to him, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to have you, to sift you as wheat. What a worry this would have been to Simon Peter. But you know, Simon, he need not fear. Because in the very same breath, Christ tells Simon Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. The thee here is in the singular. And he's honing in now on Simon Peter. And Christ, he says to him, Simon, I have prayed for thee. Simon, I have prayed for you specifically. I have prayed for you as an individual. And you know, remember this. Jesus Christ is omniscient. He would have known that Satan was going to come and attack and oppose and attempt to sift Simon Peter. And you'll notice there the tense of this statement. I have prayed for thee. The Lord Jesus is saying to Simon Peter, Simon, I knew Satan was going to come. I knew Satan was going to sift you. But Simon, I've already prayed for you. I have already prayed for you. I foresaw the attack of Satan coming. I have already prayed for you. Charles Simeon said, on this particular portion, our Lord provided for Peter's safety before he even knew he was in danger. And that is exactly right. And what did he pray? Christ, he prayed that thy faith fail not. The verb to fail here, it means to quit or to cease. And the Lord Jesus, he saw that Satan was going to come. Satan was going to sift Simon Peter. And he says to Simon, Simon, I have already prayed for you that your faith wouldn't quit, that your faith wouldn't stop, that your faith wouldn't cease altogether. You see, periods of temptation are also periods of intercession. While Satan desires to sift you, Christ, he supplicates for you. Oh, isn't it a wonder to think? Isn't it a wonder to think, believer, that the Lord, he knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And in knowing the beginning and the ending of our lives, he knows when Satan's going to attack us. And when Satan does attack us, remember this. Christ has already prayed for you. The Lord Jesus, he knew all about it. He has complete control over Satan, and he is already praying for you. Oh, as you enter into this trial, as you enter into the sifting of Satan, you're not alone. The Lord Jesus, he's praying for you. Again, in Romans 8, verse 34, we read, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And here we're told that no one can lay any charge to God's elect. Why? Because we have one. One who is making intercession for us. See, whenever we are tempted, we're not isolated. No, we have an intercessor. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's praying for you. He's praying for you. And this week, as you perhaps face temptation, tribulation, the Lord Jesus, he's praying for you. You know, there was a wee boy, he was misbehaving. He was sent to bed early. He wasn't very happy with his mum. He was cross with his mum, and mum was cross with the wee boy. But she told him to go to bed and to say his goodnight prayers. The wee boy, he prayed for everybody under the sun. Prayed for his dad. Prayed for his granda, prayed for his grandmother. Thought about all of his friends in school, he prayed for them. Prayed for his teacher at school. Thought about all of his friends and around his house, he prayed for them as well. He didn't pray for his mum. And then he just simply said, Amen. And then he looked up at his mum and he said, Mum, I bet you realized that you weren't in my prayers. But child of God, I've got good news for you. You're in the prayers of Christ. You are in the prayers of Christ. He doesn't neglect you. He doesn't forget about you. No, he notices whenever you're in temptation and he's praying for you. The substance of this prayer. Notice also here the success of this prayer. In verse 32 we read, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And notice this, it's when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The word convert here, it means to turn, to change, or to recover. It doesn't mean that Simon Peter needed to be saved again. He was saved once, he would always be saved. However, Simon Peter was in a declining state spiritually. So he did need to be turned or to recover. And Christ here, he stated, it was when he would recover. Not if he would recover. Simon, when you're converted, when you're changed, when you are recovered, strengthen thy brethren. You see, Christ prayed that Peter's faith wouldn't fail. And in saying, when you're changed, he was showing that his prayers never fail. Christ was praying that Simon Peter's faith wouldn't fail, and it didn't. It didn't fail. Simon Peter didn't give up. He continued on in the Christian faith. You read through the New Testament, you find that after the resurrection, Simon Peter was mightily used by God. He saw thousands saved. He was even a martyr for Jesus Christ. Simon Peter was a believer. Christ prayed for this believer, and his prayers didn't fail. But that raises a question, doesn't it? Just after this, he denied his Lord. Well, whilst the Lord foresaw this, the Lord, as I have already explained, he gradually saw Simon Peter coming back to him. And so his prayers for Simon were successful. You see, those whom Christ saves, he also sustains and supplies. And if you're a Christian, you will never fail. Your faith will never fail. That's if you're truly born again of God. It's when you're converted. When you're converted. When you're saved, yes, your love for Christ might ebb. Yes, it might flow. Yes, like Peter, you might deny the Lord. Yes, like Peter, sometimes you might be out of step with the Lord. But you will never totally fall away. The Lord Jesus, he's praying for you as a believer. No matter how weak your faith might be, no matter how little strength you feel you may have, the Lord is praying for you. And he's praying for you, and his prayers never fail. Indeed, in his high priestly prayer, we read in John 17, verse 12, that while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and listen to it, none of them is lost. None of them is lost. The Lord Jesus, high priestly prayer, in it he states, none of the believers, no believer will ever be lost. You see, whilst we may fail in our praying, Christ never fails in his praying. And you remember that. You remember that, Christian. That Christ, he's interceding for you, he's praying for you, and he will continually, perpetually, eternally supplicate the throne of God on your behalf. Yes, you might be tempted to give up. Yes, like Simon Peter, you might be declining spiritually. But the Lord's praying for you. He's praying for you. The plight he experienced, the prayer he received. Notice lastly and quickly here, the power he provided. In verse 32 we read, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The verb to strengthen here, it means to make stable, to make firm, to set in place. It has with it the idea of stability. But think of Peter here. He's anything but a picture of stability. He's about to deny his Lord. But you remember, when he was saved at the beginning, the Lord gave Peter a name, Cephas, a stone. And in doing that, he was saying, Simon, this is the type of Christian you're going to be. Yes, you might be on rocky ground now. Yes, you might be declining spiritually, but you're going to be a stone. You're going to be a strength. You're going to make stable. You're going to make others firm. And he did. Yes, he denied his Lord after this. But you only have to read through 1st and 2nd Peter, which was written under the inspiration of God, but yes, by Peter. And you think of all the strength that you can draw from that. How in chapter 2 of 1 Peter he draws us to the cornerstone. How even in 2 Peter he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, he was strengthening other believers. You see, in being strengthened by the prayers of Christ, he then strengthened others for Christ. Failure is not final. Failure is not final. The Lord delights in taking sandy, unstable Christians and making them solid, stable Christians. And let's face it, there's a little bit of Peter in every one of us, isn't there? And if the Lord can make a Cephas out of Simon, if the Lord can make a rock out of Simon, he can make a rock out of you and out of I. Christ praying for Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. May God bless his word to your hearts this morning. We'll close our service by singing the words of hymn 429. Hymn 429. It's found on page 350 of your hymn book. Hymn 429, page 350. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. And we'll stand, please, whilst we sing.